Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Beitza daf Yud Zayin. We left off on the top of daf Yud Zayin, Amaral, the second line of the page, Tanur Rabbanan. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. First thing we're going to discuss is what we do about davening when Yom Tov and Shabbos coincide. How do we mention both Yom Tov and Shabbos during the davening? Is it an extra bracha in the davening? Is it incorporated into one of the existing brachas of the davening? And then the Gemara is going to discuss making an Eruv from one Yom Tov to the next day of Yom Tov, from Yom Tov l'Chaveru. And then we're going to talk about the concept of Ribui Bishurim, that even though you're not allowed to cook more than you need for that day, but can you cook, put more food in the same pot and turn on the fire, and even though you don't need all of the food that's in the pot for that day. Then the Gemara toward the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about someone who forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin, whether the Isser is only for him to cook, or even any ingredients that he owns cannot be cooked or baked with on Yom Tov for Shabbos, even if other people do the cooking and the baking. So is it a din in him, a din in the Gavra, or a din in all of the every item that he owns? Then the Gemara is going to discuss, okay, what if you do not have an Erev Tavshilin and you cooked anyway? Does the food become Aser if you cook that food without an Erev Tavshilin? That's going to take up the majority of Amud Beis, bringing Rayas to that question. That takes us all the way to the two dots, two-thirds of the way down Amud Beis. And then the Gemara is going to discuss, when we had a Machlokas in the Mishnah, whether you need one Tavshil or two Tavshilin for Erev Tavshilin, how do we even define Shnei Tavshilin? And then the Mishnah, at the end of Amud Beis, is going to talk about toveling things, whether it be kelim or people, on an Erev Yom Tov Shechal B'Shabbos, because there's a chiyuv to be metaher atzmo b'regel, that a person has to be metaher himself going into Yom Tov. Okay, but if Erev Yom Tov happens to be Shabbos, how does one go about being metaher himself in advance of Yom Tov? So let's begin Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph at the top of the page, second line from the top of the page. Tan Rabbanan, Yom Tov Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, meaning Yom Tov and Shabbos coincide. Beishamay Yom Mispal Shmona. Beishamay says you say eight brachas of Shmona Esrei. Normally on a regular Shabbos there are seven brachas of Shmona Esrei. Obviously Shmona Esrei is a misnomer. It's always a misnomer because there are 19 brachas on a weekday. But there are seven brachas of the Amida on Shabbos, and there are seven brachas of the Amida on Yom Tov. But since there are two Kedushos Hayom of Yom Tov and Shabbos, so they each get it their own bracha. Va'omer Shal Shabbos Bifnei Atzma V'Shal Yom Tov Bifnei Atzma. And Basil says, no, you incorporate both Shabbos and Yom Tov into a single bracha, and therefore it remains only seven brachos. The beginning and end of the bracha mention only Shabbos, and the Kedushas Yom Tov is mentioned in the middle of the bracha, whatever the chag happens to be. Whereas Rabbi Omer, that even the chassim Sabracha also incorporates Yom Tov as well. There is a well-known chakira that when you have two kedushos that coincide on the same day, so how do we view that? Do you view it the way that Rav Rosenzweig Shlita likes to say? Do we view it as a hyphenated kedusha or a hybrid kedusha? Is it that it happens to be? There's kedusha Shabbos, there's kedusha Yom Tov. They happen to meet on the same day, but it's the same kedusha Shabbos and it's the same kedusha Yom Tov. They just happen to fall out on the same day. Or do we say, no, a kedusha Shabbos that falls on Yom Tov is a different kind of kedusha Shabbos. A kedusha Yom Tov that falls on Shabbos is a different kind of kedusha Yom Tov, that each one affects the other. It may or may not relate to this machlokas, meaning if they happen to just meet on the same day, then that certainly would fit Beis Shammai's opinion much better. Regular bracha for Yom Tov, regular bracha for Shabbos. But if they're in some way are fused together and they become their own, they have their own identity of a Shabbos Yom Tov. It's not just a Shabbos and a Yom Tov, but it's a Shabbos Yom Tov. So then Beis Hillel Shita, that you're going to put them together in the same bracha, would certainly be much more mistaver. Tani Tana Kamed Ravina. So they taught in front of Ravina the way to be chosim the bracha is mekadesh Yisrael v'hashabbos v'hazmanim. You mentioned first Yisrael, then Shabbos, then zmanim. So Amalei, so Ravina says, well, wait a second, that seems out of order because kedushas Yom Tov, it makes sense you're going to mention kedushas Yisrael before kedushas Yom Tov because kedushas Yom Tov is taloi in kiddush hachodesh. Kiddush hachodesh is done by Beis Din. It's done by the Jewish people, and if the Jewish people are not mekadesh the Chodesh, then if the Jewish people did not have Kedushas Yisrael, they wouldn't have the ability to be Mekadesh the Chodesh and thereby establish the Yom Tovim. But Kedushas Shabbos has nothing to do with Yisrael. Kedushas Shabbos is automatic. That's built into the Bria. It's Kavua Vekaima from Sheshes Yimei Bereshis. So someone pointed out to me yesterday that you have by Shabbos, every society, or pretty much every society, assumes a seven-day week, even though there's nothing in the Bria that really tells us that. Meaning a lunar cycle, a solar cycle, right? All of that makes sense. Years and months and things like that. There's nothing in the Bria that tells us that there should be a seven-day week. That became universally accepted, though. So that, because that's just there. That's not something that we have to do. It's automatic that there's going to be a Kedusha Shabbos. So it says, Atu Shabbos Yisrael Mekadshile, Vashabbos Mekadshile V'kayma. The Jewish people aren't Mekadesh Shabbos. Shabbos is there the whole time. So why does it make sense to say Yisrael before Shabbos? Kedusha Shabbos has nothing to do with Kedusha Yisrael. Ella, Ema, the Gemara says, you're right. Instead, we should say Mekadesh HaShabbos Yisrael VaHazmanim. First Shabbos, because that has nothing to do with Kedusha Yisrael, and then Yisrael VaHazmanim. Then the Kedusha Yisrael, which in turn creates the ability to be Mekadesh the Zmanim. So I'm Rav Yosef, Halacha Karebi, Kedetaritz Ravina. We pass on like Rebbe that the middle bracha should have a conclusion that incorporates both Kedusha Shabbos and Kedusha Yom Tov, but you should first mention Kedusha Shabbos independently and only then Kedusha Yisrael, followed by Kedusha Yom Tov, which is Talui in the Kedusha Yisrael. Why is any of this here? We're in the middle of a discussion of Eruv. What does this have to do with anything? So the Tzlach points out that Einochinami, this price does not belong here in the middle of the dinim of Eruv, but because the in both prices, the price is about Eruv and the price over here, it's Machlokas Rabbi and the Chacham, and there's Machlokas Amoraim, what Rabbi holds, and the Gemara is going to come to the conclusion that the Halacha is like Rabbi, the way one of the Amoraim explained him, so that's why the last thing we read yesterday at the very top of the page, you look at the first words on the page, that Amar Rav, Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Huna, Halacha Karebi, Ula Isser, that the Halacha is like Rabbi, and the way, one version of the way we had Rebbe. So over here also, we're passing like Rebbe, and one version of Rebbe, and that's what it's doing here. But it's really got nothing to do with our discussion. So Tanu Rabbanan, Shabbos Shechal Lios B'Rosh Chodesh B'Chol Shel Moed. But once we're on the topic, right? Once we're discussing, so the Gemara tells us that Shabbos that has Rosh Chodesh or Chol Moed that is Chal on that Shabbos, Marsha points out in the name of that over here we say Shabbos Shechal B'Rosh Chodesh, that Shabbos falls on Rosh Chodesh. Previously we said Yom Tov Shechal B'Shabbos, that Yom Tov falls on Shabbos. Which is the day and which is the thing that's Chal on that day? Is it Shabbos that's the automatic and then something else is Chal on Shabbos, or the other way around? So it says by Yom Tov Shechal B'Shabbos, the Iker Seder HaTfilah is really a Tfilas Yom Tov, and you just add in a few words about Shabbos. As opposed to Rosh Chodesh Shechal B'Shabbos, you daven a regular Tfilas Shabbos. So that's why we change the way we phrase it, that it's Shabbos Shechal Yos B'Rosh Chodesh B'Chol Shel Moed. So Arvus Shachris Mincha Mispal Sheva. So for Mariv and for Shachris and Mincha, you daven the normal seven brachos like you do any other Shabbos. And you mention Yalav Yavo. You say Yalav Yavo in the bracha of Avoda. V'imlo Amar. And if you didn't say Yalav Yavo, so Machzirin also, you have to go and repeat Shemone Asrei. Rabbi Lazar Amar Bahuda. Rabbi Lazar says no. You say Yalav Yavo not in the bracha of Avoda, but in the bracha of modim, in hoda'a, and not in avoda. Ubu musafin, and musaf of Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, that are chal on Shabbos, maskul b'shal Shabbos m'sayim, b'shal Shabbos om kudush siyom be'emtza. So that middle bracha should start with Shabbos, end with Shabbos, and you mention the Rosh Chodesh or the Chol HaMoed somewhere in the middle of the bracha. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shmuel, Menosh, Rabbi Yochum, and Baroka, omrim, kol makom shuhuskak l'sheva. Whenever you have to say seven brachos, even Shachris, Mincha, and Mariv, when Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh or Shabbos and Chol HaMoed coincide, maskeb l'shal Shabbos, m'sayim m'shal Shabbos, omrim, kudush siyom be'emtza. You start the bracha with Shabbos, you end it with Shabbos, and you say kudush siyom in middle of that middle bracha. So even though when they fall on a weekday, they don't don't get their own bracha. Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed don't get their own bracha when they fall on the weekday. They just get incorporated in Yal HaViyavo. But on Shabbos, where they're already misaking a middle bracha for Kedushas HaYom, you can't say a bracha of Kedushas HaYom and not incorporate the full Kedushas HaYom, which includes Chol HaMoed or Rosh Chodesh as well. On a weekday when it's Rosh Chodesh Chol HaMoed, there is no bracha of Kedushas HaYom. Okay, so then you say Yal HaViyavo. But when you have a day where anyway there's a bracha of Kedushas HaYom, you have to mention the full extent of the Kedushas HaYom, not just Shabbos, but Rosh Chodesh Chol HaMoed as well. That's the theory behind that shita. So Amar Avuna, Ein Halacha Kosa Zug. We don't paskin like Rav Shmuel Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel, who say that you have to say Kedushas Rosh Chodesh or Kedushas Chol HaMoed in the middle bracha. No, we paskin like the Tanna Kamma, that Shachris, Mincha, Mariv, regular Shabbos Shmoneh Esrei, and you just add in a Yal HaViyavo. Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav, Maniach Adam Eruv Yitchumen Miyom Tov L'Chaveiro Masa. So a new topic now. Going back to Eruv topics, but now not Eruv Tavshilin, but Eruv Tchumen. We'll get back to Eruv Tavshilin soon as well. So you have two days of Yantuf, because you live outside of Eretz Yisrael, where it's a suffix, which one is Kodesh, which one is Chol. Let's say these 2 days of Yantuf fall out on Thursday and Friday. And you remember on Thursday, on the first day of Yantuf, that you didn't set up an Eruv Tchumen for that Shabbos. That Shabbos, you're going to need to go more than 2,000 Amos. But you didn't set up an Eruv Tchumen for that Shabbos. But it's already Yantuf now, so what do? Maniach Adam Eruv Tchumen Miyom Tov L'Chavero. You can make an Eruv Tchumen on the same loaf of bread, using the same loaf of bread, on each of the days of Yantuf, on both Thursday and Friday, Umasna, and make it tonight. Meaning on Thursday, you say, well, if today is really Yom Tov, so then this is not really an Erev. I'm only making an Erev al Tanai, that today is a weekday, which is Erev Yom Tov, which is the time that I'm allowed to make an Erev. And on the second day, you make a similar Tanai. That if today is Kodesh, then if you say on Friday, if today is Kodesh, then my Erev right now doesn't mean anything. But what I made an Erev yesterday should count as my Erev. And if yesterday was Kodesh and today is Chol, so then my Erev that I'm placing right now should mean something. So Miman of Shachu will turn out that you made an Erev on a Yom Chol that's going to cover you for Shabbos. And that's how you can take care of making an Erev. But two Yom Tov and Rosh Hashanah, we already learned back in Davav, that won't work. Because that's a Yom Arichta, that's Kedusha Achas. But on Shnei Yom Tov Shel Golios, not Rosh Hashanah, this works. So I'm a Rava. Rava points out that 2 days of Yom Tov Shel Golios that fall out on Thursday and Friday, we're not sure which one is Kodesh, which one is not. There are ramifications for Erev Tavshilin as well. Maniach Adam Erev Tavshilin miYom Tov L'Chavero. You can even make an Erev Tavshilin from one Yom Tov to the next to allow you to cook the following day on Yom Tov Sheni for the sake of Shabbos, meaning Thursday and Friday are Yom Tov. You forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin on Erev Yom Tov, so on Thursday you can make an Erev Tavshilin al Tanai, that it's actually Erev Yom Tov, and if it's not Erev Yom Tov, then Friday is Chol anyway, and therefore Miman of Shuch you're going to be Umasli, you can make such a Tanai, and therefore Miman of Shuch you're going to be allowed to cook from Yom Tov Shabbos. The Rambam writes in the 10th paragraph of Hilchos Yom Tov that this Tanai only worked when they were Mekadesh al Pi Ariyah. But nowadays, where the Shei Yom Tov Shel Golios are no longer Mishum Sveika Diyoma, it's Mishum Minagav Aseinu Biyodeinu, so then the Tanai is not going to help, because it's not really a suffix anymore, so you can't make a Tanai if this, if that. No, we know what it is. They're both Kodesh. They're both Kodesh Midin Minagav Aseinu Biyodeinu. That's what the Rambam writes. The Ravid is Masik on him, because the Chavra, the Minagav Aseinu Biyodeinu, was to treat it exactly the same as they used to treat it when it was suffix. So when it was a suffix, you were allowed to make such a Tanai. So now the Minagav Aseinu Biyodeinu is to treat it exactly the same, and you should be allowed to make such a Tanai. That Tanai is brought in Shulchan Aruch. So the Gemara explains the machlokas between Rav and Rava. So Mandi Amar Eruv Tchumin, if you're going to say that you're allowed to make such a Tanai by an Eruv Tchumin from one day of Yom Tov to the next Kolshkein Eruv Tavshilin, then there's no reason to limit you and to not allow you to do the same for Eruv Tavshilin. Umandi Amar Eruv Tavshilin, but if you say that that you're allowed to make such a Tanai when it comes to Eruv Tavshilin, Avl Eruv Tchumin Lo, it could be that we would not allow you to do Eruv Tchumin on a Tanai. My time, why should there be a difference between Erev Tchumen and Erev Tavshilin? So in Erev Tchumen, you're acquiring a new Makom Shvisa beyond your city in the place where you're making your Erev. You're generally not allowed to make Kinyanim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So that's why you're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. Dilmikni Shvisa b'Shabbata lo. To be Kona Shvisa b'Shabbata, over here b'Shabbata means on Yom Tov. It means on the day of Kodesh, on a day that is actually Yom Tov, that you're going to be
Kona Shavisa, maybe we're not going to go that far, even though it's only a Suffolk, but Al Atzad, that it really today is Chol, and it's not a day of Kodesh, but even Al Atzad, that it's a Suffolk Kodesh, you shouldn't be Kona Shavisa. But when it comes to Erev Tavshilin, they allow it Al Suffolk because of Kavod Shabbos, right? That's how the Rashi explains that for the sake of Kavod Shabbos, we're going to allow making it Al Suffolk. The Maram Shif points out you could have said other Chidukim between Eruvei Tchumen and Eruvei Tavshilin. For example, that the Maram Shik points out that Dafka by Eruvei Tchumen, it would be more mistavit to say that it's Aser because you're definitely making an Erev on one of the 2 days. Whereas by Erev Tavshilin, if today is Kodesh and tomorrow is Chol, if Thursday is Kodesh and Friday is Chol, I don't even need an Erev Tavshilin. When I'm going to cook on Friday, it's cooking on Chol. So I'm only making an Erev on one side of the Suffolk. There's only 50% chance I'm even making an Erev. So it's like a Svek Sveka. I don't know if the day I'm making an Erev is the day of Kodesh at all. And even if it is, I may not be making an Erev. I may not be making an Erev. So, or the Maram Shif says you could be Mechalik between Tchumen, which is Doraisa. Tchum Shabbos is Doraisa. Yud Beit Tchum of Yud Beit Mil at least Doraisa. So it's Ikaru Min HaTorah. It's not one of the Lamatas Mulachas of Shabbos, but there are a number of things that are Asur on Shabbos that are not one of the Lamatas Mulachas of Shabbos. Isn't it sort of Mechamer? There are a lot of things that are not necessarily Havara, maybe. It's Machlokas Tanoim, whether Havara Lechalik Yotz, Havara Lelav Yotz. It may not be a Malach of Yod Havara Lelav Yotz. So there are things, there are Yisurim of Shabbos that don't relate to Malacha per se. So this is one of them. Whereas Erev Tavshilin, the whole din is only a din midrabanan. So Maram Shif points out that those are also Chilukim that we could have made. Okay, but Rashi made this Chiluk that Erev Tavshilin, they're more makel because of Kavod Shabbos, that it's necessary in order to be able to secure Kavod Shabbos to make sure they have food for Shabbos. Tan Rabban, Ein Ofen Yom Tov L'Chavero. You're not allowed to bake on Yom Tov Rishon for Yom Tov Sheni. Meaning you're not allowed to do Achanus, you're not allowed to prepare from one day of Yom Tov to the next day. That's why in between the 2 days of Yom Tov, most shuls will have a shir in between Mincha and Maariv, because what's the point? You're going to get home early and then do what? You can't do anything anyway. You're not allowed to prepare until, you're not even allowed to light candles, do anything until it's already the next day. So you learn a little bit and, no one dies from learning a little bit. It's okay. But you can't prepare from one day to the next. There is a trick that a lot of people have. If you have young children that need to eat early, so some people will do that trick that you warm up food. They need to eat before Shkia because they're going to sleep very early. So if you have young kids that need to eat early, you're allowed to warm up food for them. They're eating dinner at 5 o'clock, and Shkia is at 7 o'clock, so that's perfectly fine. It's legitimate to warm up dinner for them at 5 o'clock, and then you can leave it in the oven. You can let it stay warm. There's no requirement to undo the warming, right? You can or you can even cook it for them. So, but anyway, but generally speaking, you're not allowed to be mechin from one day to the next. But emes amru mimali isha kol akedei rabaser aval bishen nitzricha el chaticha achas, that a woman could fill a whole pot with meat even though she only needs one chaticha of meat for that day, and everything that she's adding, the fact that she filled up the whole pot, is clearly going to be used for another day, because the malacha of bishul is one malacha. This is what we call riboy b'shiurim. You're just adding more into the pot, but it's the same malacha. It's the same one malacha that a person is doing. Rav Chanan has a chakira and kovitz shiurim and osmem chas, whether that heter is dafka when each chaticha, any one of those chatichos may be the lucky chaticha that you're eating today, that you're going to eat on Yom Tov. What about if the extra? There are some chatichos that are not edible for human beings, that are only edible for animals, but you want to cook it up for your dog also, and you put it in the same pot together with your chaticha. Would that be okay also? Is that also called Riba Bishurim because it's still only one Maisa of Bishul? Or do we only allow Riba Bishurim when at least any of these chatichos could be the one that's actually eaten on Yom Tov? So that's what Rav Chanan discusses in Kovitz Shiurim. Now, also, it's the idea of Riba Bishurim. The Rashba points out very important that's only if you add the extra chatichos before you put the food on the fire. But once the pot is on the fire, adding more food to it is a separate maisa of bishul. So that you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to do an extra maisa of bishul, but one maisa of bishul when you just have a large pot full of food, that's going to be fine. That is a discussion in contemporary poskim when it comes to doing laundry on Chalamoed. There's a Trumas Hadashin where he writes in the name of Maram that you're not allowed to be mechabes all of your begadim at one time. If you need begadim for children, you're not allowed to do kibbutz in general, but for children who constantly soil their begadim, so the Shulchan Aruch says that that's dafka with begadim chalukim. But sadinim ketanim, if you have small pieces of clothing that all go together to make one outfit, then you're allowed to do all the pieces of the outfit together at the same time, because you don't use them independently. They all go together. And that's what the Ramah paskins in Shulchan Aruch Sim Tavkof Lamedal, that big day ketanim biyoser, they're constantly soiling their clothing. So then you're allowed to wash four or five bits of clothing at the same time, because you need a lot of clothing at every moment. They're always going through clothing. They're always changing. He was describing diapers, really, meaning that they have to wash the diapers. So that's really something that they're constantly going through. But Poskim applied this nowadays to any child that's always messing up their clothing on a constant basis, that you're allowed to do laundry for the child. But the Poskim discuss, okay, I'm not washing it by hand. I'm putting it in a washing machine. Can I fill the whole washing machine? When I hit the button, that's the Maisa Kvisa. That's the malacha that I'm doing. So maybe it should be like a Riba Bishurim, that it's only one malacha that you're doing with the pushing of the button, and no matter how much clothing you put in it, it's the same malacha, no matter how much clothing is there. So the Minchas Yitzchak discusses this in Chelek Chesem and Nun, as does the Debre Tzina Rav in Chelek Zayin Simulam and Beis, and he says that both of them say that it's mutter to be Mechabes other begadim, and the Be'er Moshe, Debre Tzina writes that it's a svara gadola, that it's better to be mechabes all at one time, because what you're going to end up doing if you don't do a whole load, you're going to end up doing multiple loads, multiple smaller loads, and that's certainly not right. So much better to add as many items of clothing for the child as possible, and then you'll have to do less laundry over the chalamoid. So you're utilizing this principle of riba bishurim. Similarly, says the Gemara, mimali nachtom. A nachtom, a baker, can fill a barrel full of water, even though he only needs one pitcher of the water. So it's because it's one tircha. It's not adding extra tircha because it's one kli. But when it comes to baking, he's only allowed to bake the bread that he actually needs, because each loaf is a separate maisa and is an extra tircha. So baking is different than cooking in a pot. Each kika requires its own afia and redia. They didn't bake by putting a whole bunch of challahs on a tin and putting the tin into the oven. What they would do is they would attach the doughs to the side of the oven, then they would scrape it off the wall of the oven. So it required this malacha called redia sapas. So there was extra tircha in the baking process for each and every dough. A woman could fill the entire oven with bread. That not because it's one tircha. It's not one tircha. The way they used to bake, it's multiple tirchos. But he says you're allowed to do it anyway, because the bread tastes much better when the oven is full of bread than it does if you're just making one bread. Because apparently, the way the Rishonim understand what this means, why that is, that the bread tastes much better, is that the Rush writes that the heat doesn't have room to escape, because the oven is more full by all the loaves of bread, and therefore, since the heat is more condensed, it bakes the bread in a much better way. But that's why the Rush says this only works if the oven is a small oven. But if it's a very large oven where there's a lot of airspace anyway, so then it doesn't help to be memale with lechem. Amar Rava halach Rav Shimon Elazar. We pass like Rav Shimon Elazar that when it comes to bread, you could fill the whole oven with bread. So Yibayilu Mishlo Iniach Ruvi Tavshilin. So now new shayla. Someone forgot an erev Tavshilin. Who nesar kimcho nesar odilma who nesar ve'im kimcho nesar. We know that he's not allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, but what about his ingredients? The ingredients that he has. He has flour. So can someone else bake using his flour, the fellow that didn't make an Erev Tavshilin? So the nafkamina. The whole nafkamina is, am I allowed to be makne? Do I need to be makne my kemach to somebody else so that they could bake for me? So iam ritu nesar v'kimcho nesar. If you say that it's not only nisr on him, it's nisr on all of his kemach, so tzarech lakne kimcho lacherim, then he needs to be makne his kemach to somebody else. The Ran writes that he should do it b'lashon matana and not with a kinyan sudar. They should do a regular meshicha like a kinyan metaltalin, and that would be mutter. The Mordechai, however, says, no, you could do whatever kinyan you want because this is letzaruch mitzvah. And even though generally you're not allowed to make kinyanim on Yom Tov, but letzaruch mitzvah, we're matir making kinyanim. So the Beis Yosef points out that apparently they're arguing, the Ran and the Mordechai are arguing about the nature of the iser to make kinyanim on Yom Tov. Is it an iser only in making a kinyan sudar, or is it an iser on all kinyanim? Where the Ran says it's only an iser in kinyan sudar, so just avoid a kinyan sudar and do a regular meshicha, and that's perfectly fine. But the Mordechai says, no, they're all going to be aser. The only reason we're allowing it is for the sake of Kavod Yom Tov, for the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos, rather. So good. So for that mitzvah, you can do any kind of kinyan. But anyway, so that's what the Gemara says. That's the nafkamina. So I amr tu nesar ve'ein kimcho nesar lo tzarech lakonei kimcho lacherim. But if it's only an iser on the guy, but his kemach is perfectly fine, then you don't need to be makin his kemach to anybody else. So my, how do we paskin in this shayla? Tashma. That a person who didn't make an Erev Tavshilin is not allowed to bake, he's not allowed to cook, he's not allowed to do hatmana, neither for himself nor for other people. And here's the key, and other people are not allowed to be mevashel for him. So what do you need to do? You have to be makne your kemach to other people, and only then, only if it's not your kemach anymore, belongs to them, then they could cook and bake for you. Shmamina, hu nasar kimcha nasar, shmamina. So you see very clearly that he and his kemach both become asr. So a little bit of discussion with you. The Bali Itta writes that someone who doesn't make an Eruv could be ofel mevashel for someone who did make an Eruv. That if I didn't make an Eruv, but you did, Bali Itta says, I'm allowed to cook for you. So the Torah just points out, it's beferish against this Gemara, right? The Bali Itta is directly against the Gemara. So you have to come up with some sort of teretz. So that's what the Achronim work on, because when it comes to a Rishon, doesn't go against the Gemara. Sometimes in Achronim, you'll have like an Achron who forgot a Gemara. Rav Shechter says every year in his Hilchos Sukkah Shir, after Yom Kippur, Rav Shechter, who's 80 years old now, Knainahara, and stands the whole day with his feet together, with no shoes on or anything, just socks, the entire day with his feet together, gets a quick bite to eat, and then says a shir for an hour and a half on Motzai Yom Kippur. So he gives a shir in Hilchos Sukkah, even if you're not listening, just to watch that is kedai. Now they zoom it also, gives a shir in the business. So he always mentions that the Aruch HaShulchan, someone said that they watched the Aruch HaShulchan write his sefer, and he would sit there writing, no svarim. Every couple of hours or something, he'd go and he'd grab a sefer off the shelf. He wrote the whole thing by heart. So he said, you can catch him sometimes where he misquoted something because he did the whole thing. He did the whole thing out of memory. So there's one particular Indian in Hilchos Sukkah where he accidentally went against the Gemara. But okay, so that could happen. But we have, you have a Rishon, it's not going to go against the Gemara. The Torah also writes that the reason that he's not allowed to cook for anybody else is because not everyone knows that he's cooking for other people. People are going to think he's cooking for himself. Beis Yosef says, yeah, but does everybody know that he forgot an Erev Tavshilin? What does it matter? What everybody else, you know, it's not going to look strange if a person's cooking on Yom Tov. So Beis Yosef comes up with another reason why he's not allowed to cook for other people. So now, new shaila, Ibayiluhu. Avar va'afa mai. What if a person didn't have an Erev Tavshilin and he baked anyway? So now what's the halacha? Are you allowed to use that food? Are you allowed to eat the food on Shabbos? So the Gemara is going to try five rayas. Raya number one, Tashema. Mishal eniach eruv tavshilin ketzer. Well, so if you don't have an eruv tavshilin, what should you do? Makna kimcha lacherim v'acherim rav lom vashlo. Just mean makna your kemach to somebody else and let them cook and bake for you. Oh, the Isa, but if the food is going to be mutter anyway, but you have it even if you cook for yourself, listeni avra vafa mutter. Why doesn't it say that there's another option? You cook and bake for yourself and the food is going to be mutter. So says Gemara, that's not a good raya. Amra vada bar masna, tana takanta de teir katani, takanta disur lo katani. No, we're trying to figure out what you're allowed to do. The fact that if you happen to do the avera of cooking without an erev tavshilin, that you're allowed to eat the food, that's not an eitza, that's not something that we're going to tell you to do. We're trying to come up with what you're allowed to do. What are you allowed to do? What you're allowed to do is be makne your kemach to somebody else and have him cook or bake for you. So that raya doesn't work. Says raya number two. Toshma, Misha Niyach Eruv Tavshilin. If a person made an Eruv Tavshilin, Hareza Ofum Vashalum Matmin, he could do baking and cooking and Hatmana on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos, Vimrata Lech Laseruvo, and if he wants to eat his Eruv on Yom Tov after he finished cooking for it's Friday afternoon, he already cooked everything he needed for Shabbos. Now, the whole idea of an Eruv Tavshilin is that you put aside from Erev Yom Tov food that you can eat on Shabbos, right? It's the egg that you can eat at Shalosh Shunis or something that you put aside for your Erev Tavshilin. But it's ready Friday afternoon. He already got everything he needed out of the Seruv. He already finished cooking and baking. Can he eat the egg now? He wants to have an egg salad right now. So Rishus Biyado, yeah, you're allowed to do that. But Achalo Achalof Achalo Bishal Achalo Hitmin. But if he ate it before he finished cooking and baking and being Matmin, Hareza Lo Yafalev Achalo Yatmin, then that's it. He's not going to be allowed to do anymore if he eats up his Seruv. Lo Lov Lo Lacherim Lo Lacherim Lo Fin Vashal No. He's not allowed to do it for himself, nor for anybody else, nor can anybody else do it for him, because you need to have the Eruv in existence in order to be able to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Avam Vashalu Yom Tov, but what he certainly can do is he can cook for Yom Tov, meaning if it's Friday and he realized, I already ate my Eruv Tavshilin and there's still more cooking to be done for today, for Friday, good, you can cook on Yom Tov for Yom Tov Vim Hosir. If you happen to have leftovers, Hosir the Shabbos. Those leftovers can be used for Shabbos. So if you're cooking for lunch on Friday afternoon and you cooked a big lunch and you didn't eat a big lunch, so then whatever you have left over you could have on Shabbos. But Oblavach lo yarim. You're not allowed to do this in a harama kind of way. Meaning you can't say, oh, you know, maybe I'll have 50 guests that will show up right now, so I'm going to cook for an army of 50 people. And knowing full well that you're not going to have an army of 50 people just so you can have food for Shabbos. V'im harim, asur. And if you do such a harama, you're not allowed to eat that food on Shabbos. Because the chum were machmir, not to, because otherwise it would take away the whole need for an eruv, because everyone would just do such a harama, and they'd be able to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So you see that that if you cook be'isser, you're not allowed to eat that food on Shabbos. So l'chora, the same should be true if a person violated and cooked without an Eruv, that the Tavshil is going to be asr. So this seems like a much stronger, right? It's almost the exact same case, right? We asked about a case, the whole Shaila we asked about is, you didn't make an Eruv, can you cook anyway? I mean, and you cooked anyway, can you eat the food? Over here, it was, you used up your Eruv already, you're allowed to cook for Friday, you cooked extra Baharama, can you eat the food? And the answer is no. So it says Gemara, Amar Ravashi, Harama Kamrit, Shaini Harama, Dachmira Barabban Tfemi Mezit. No, it could be that that's a special chumra for someone who does Harama. It could be that we're more machmir for someone who does Harama to try to get around, say, if he does a trick to try to get around the halacha. Why would it be more machmir for someone who does Harama than someone who just bemezit cooks without an Erev? Because someone who cooks bemezit without an Erev knows he's doing an Avera. So he's more likely to do tshuva from that. But as he's doing Harama, he's going to convince himself that what he's doing is totally mutter. Not only that, other people will learn from him. You do such a harama, so, and you have an explanation of why this is okay. So everyone's always up for a good explanation of why things that are asr are really okay. So they'll sign up to that. But something that's beferish asr, no one is going to learn from what he's doing. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says there's another reason why it's not a good raya. Hamani Chananya, Hivali B'Devei Shammai, that the Braisa that says that if you do a harama, it's asr, is only going according to Chananya's understanding of the Beis Shammai. Titania Chanani Omer Beis Shammai Omer. Chanani says that Beis Shammai says that that in order to make a proper Eruv, you need each type of tavshil to be matir its min, to be matir cooking or baking. Ain ofin elim kein Eruv bepas. Ain mevashin elim kein Eruv betavshil. If you want to bake, you need to have bread in your Eruv tavshil. If you want to cook, you need to have cooked food in your Eruv tavshil. Veim tom lom kein elchem tmuna me'erev yom tov. If you want to do hatmana, you need to have hatmana. Water that's the hot water that's insulated from Erev Yom Tov. Beisilul Omrim Me'arev B'Tavshil Echad V'Osilu Kol Tzarko. Then you could have even just a single Tavshil, and with that single, with one egg, you could cook whatever you want and bake whatever you want and be matmin, whatever you want. So therefore, it could be that Beis Shammai, who's more machmir B'Erev Tavshil in general, they're the ones that are machmir, that if you cooked without an Eruv, that you're not allowed to eat from that food on Shabbos. But Beisilul, who's generally more makel about the Erev Tavshil, maybe isn't going to be so machmir that the food itself itself that you cook without the Eruv is going to be Asr. So says Gemara, let's try a third Raya. Ma'asr Perus B'Shabbos B'Shogeg, that the Mishnah or Brisa says that a person who is Ma'asr his Perus, takes Maisos from his Perus B'Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that, but he does so B'Shogeg Yochal, he's allowed to eat those Perus. But B'Mezid Lo Yochal, if he did so B'Mezid, then he's not allowed to eat from those Perus. They made a Knas that he violated this Gzeres Chachamim, that you're not allowed to eat, that you're not allowed to take Trumas HaMaisos on Yom Tov. Tos Yom Tov points out that you see from here that from the fact that the Mishnah puts this together with being Mevashel B'Shabbos, that those Peros are Asr forever. Just like if you're Mevashel B'Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat that food forever. The Peros that you're Ma'asr on Shabbos must be Asr forever. But then he says, nah, it could be that the Maskanas HaSugya over here, there's a difference between Ma'asr B'Shabbos and Mevashel B'Shabbos, that the Peros are only Asr if you don't have other peros. So it could be that when it comes to the how long it remains asr, that's also a difference. Meaning, as long as we see any daylight between the isr of being the isr of the food that you were mevashel and the isr of the food that you were mesakin with trumas ma'isos, so then we can say that there are many distinctions between them. It's just that what they share in common is that there's some sort of knas that if you did this b'mezid, you violated Shabbos or taking trumas ma'isos b'mezid, you're not allowed to eat it. So it turns out that the Chum were very machmir in this gezerah, and they asr even that when you violated gezerah, they asr even the result of that gezerah. So maybe we say the same thing over here. If you violated gezerah and you cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, the resulting food should be asr. Says Marlo Tzricha, di islay peri achrini. No, the isr of achilas peros is only if you have other peros that you're able to eat. If you don't have any other peros that you're able to eat, for kavod Shabbos, you're going to be allowed to eat those peros. So maybe the same over here. If you don't have anything else to eat, maybe the food is taka going to be mutter. So says Mara Tashma, let's try Raya number 4. Hamat bil kelev b'Shabbos. If a person it tovels his kelev on Shabbos in a mikvah, you're not allowed to do that. So b'shogeg, it's an issur drabanan. B'shogeg, if you did it b'shogeg, yishtamish ben. You're allowed to use those kelev. B'mezid lo yishtamish ben. Why? Because you violated this issur drabanan. So you're not allowed to use the resulting kelev. So maybe the same should be true if you cook without an eruv tavshilin, that it should be usher to use that food. So says Mar Lo Tzricha, no, that the isser of using the kelim is only if you have other kelim that you could use, inami afshab shelo, or at least kelim that you could borrow from somebody else. So for the sake of onik Shabbos, you don't need to use the kelim that you toveled. But if this is your only food for Shabbos, how can we be machmir? Maybe we have to allow you to eat the food. So says Mar, fifth attempt, Tashma, hamvashel b'Shabbos b'shogeg yochal b'mezid lo yochal. If a person cooks on Shabbos b'shogeg, he can eat. If he cooked on Shabbos b'mezid, he's not allowed to eat. So you see from there that when you cook, when you're not supposed to, and you did it on purpose, the food is going to be asr. So maybe the same is true when you're mevashel on Yom Tov without an Erev, that the food is going to be asr. Says Mar, no, Isuri de Shabbos shiny. Shabbos is an isur skila min haTorah, so it makes sense that the chachamim are going to make a knas that the food itself is going to be asur. But you cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos without an eruv, that's an isur drabanan. That's not an isur skila. Maybe we're not so machmir about the food when it's not an isur daraisa, when it's only an isur drabanan. And therefore the maskana of the sugya is that it remains a suffik. Meaning we tried 5 rayas, all of the rayas failed. Right? We don't know if you cooked without an Erev Tavshilin, is the food mutter or asr? It remains a suffix. So the Rush writes, yeah, but every single raya that we tried to bring, the Gemara was Tareach to be Docha, all the rayos l'isr. We tried to bring rayos l'isr, and we kept on being Docha each raya. That gives you the impression that for Kavod Shabbos, we don't want to make a knas. You could have argued the other way, that every raya we tried to bring was a raya l'isr. It's just that none of them were mukrach, so that shows you that maybe it should be asr, but the Rush says, were more noted to be makel over here. The Ran points out to be makel for the pashut reason. It's a din drabanan, sveikat drabanan lekula. So you're going to be makel based on sveikat drabanan lekula. That's what the Rambam paskins as well. Now we said in the Mishnah, Bishamay or Mishnei Tavshilin. Bishamay says you need 2 Tavshilin for the Erev Tavshilin. So Masnisin Delo Ki Aitana. Our Mishnah that is against that records this machlokes Bisham Beisil, whether you only need 1 Tavshil or 2 Tavshilin, is against a Brisa's record of the machlokes Bisham Beisil. The Brisa records the machlokes machlokas differently. The Tanya, Amr Reb Shimon Elazar, Modim Beisham Beisil Shnei Tavshilin Shel Tzarif. Beis Hillel also agrees you need two Tavshilin according to the Brisa. Al Ma Nechluku Al Dagul Beitzu Shalav. What they disagree about is how you define Shnei Tavshilin. If you have fish with an egg on it, Shebeisham Yomim Shnei Tavshilin. Beisham says that is Shnei Tavshilin. Beisil Yomim Tavshilechem. Beisil says no, that's only one Tavshil. Veshavin and Beisham Beisil both agree. Shem Pirper Beitza Venasal Natocha Dag. That if you have like a stuffing inside of a fish, an egg stuffing inside of a fish, or sharisa kaplutos, or you take some type of vegetable and you stuff a fish, that stuffing inside of a fish, inside of a turkey or whatever, that counts as shnei tavshilin, because they're each independent. But we paskin like our version of the Beis Hillel. Our version of the Beis Hillel is they only need tavshil echad. We then said in the Mishnah that if you ate or lost your eruv, you're not allowed to cook based on it. Amrabai naktinan hiskel biyisaso v'nechal eruvo gomer. We paskin that if you began baking your bread and then your eruv got eaten in middle of the baking, you're at least allowed to finish that. You're at least allowed to finish the bread that you started baking. The discussion: are you allowed to finish all of your preparations for Shabbos? Probably not, but at least the bread you started baking, you're allowed to finish. Bezus Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody.
Thank you.